Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
New York faces a deficit. The deficit that we talk about all day long. The budget deficit. The budget deficit. But it's actually worse. The state faces a budget deficit and a competence deficit and an integrity deficit and a trust deficit. And those are the obstacles we really face. And the state is at a crossroads. I believe the decisions we make, the decisions my colleagues make this year, will define the trajectory of this state for years to come. The decisions we make today will shape the state we leave our children tomorrow.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, from his inaugural address on Saturday, and another new era in New York State begins just 4 years after Eliot Spitzer was going to change everything on day one. Remember that? Call this day one version 2.0, perhaps. But of course, Cuomo takes office in much more of a crisis than Eliot Spitzer did. So good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Hope you had a good break. Happy snow melt. 50-degree temperatures have accomplished what the Bloomberg and Christie sanitation departments could not. I guess everyone is finally home now. The worst story I heard was a guy trying to get from New York back to San Francisco who had to reroute a flight like this. New York to Philadelphia, Philadelphia to Cleveland, Cleveland to Phoenix, and finally to San Jose, from which he somehow got back to San Francisco. Wow. Our producer, Lisa, who was in St. Louis, had to wait 3 extra days, fly to Washington, and take a Chinatown bus from D.C. Welcome back, Lisa. And I hope everyone's alarms went off this morning. Our producer, Jody, overslept today because of that iPhone glitch. Is it just a little creepy that something as intimate as an alarm clock by the side of your bed might fail, not because of the clock itself, but because of some central programming glitch from a distant electronic brain? So welcome to the world where community is defined by your contribution to Facebook's $50 billion valuation, or your nightstand alarm clock gets messed up by a mistake that Steve Jobs made in Santa Clara or somewhere. Anyway, yes, Happy New Year. And later we'll take calls from anyone turning 65 this year, as the first baby boomers started doing on New Year's Day. We will take calls from anyone who turns 65 this year later in the program, and we'll also give non-baby boomers a chance to ask boomers any questions about boomerdom that you've never gotten an answer to. That's coming up. But first, one end of the snowstorm and the beginning of the Andrew Cuomo and Kathy Black eras, with us first today are Era Lewis, host of Inside City Hall on New York One, and Celeste Katz, the daily politics blogger at The Daily News. Hi, Errol. Hi, Celeste. Happy New Year.
Good morning.
Happy
New Year.
Celeste, do you think the Bloomberg handling of the snowstorm goes down as a glitch, or does it pull back the curtain on the mayor not being as good a manager in general as he's cracked up to be?
That's a hard question. I think certainly people will look back at it and think of themselves trying to get from one place to another and think of garbage piling up in the streets, and much more seriously, of course, people who were sick or even dying not being able to get the help they needed because of blocked streets. And I think they will be very, very angry for a very long time about the city's response. I mean, this isn't the first big snowstorm we've had. I mean, we had one back in, what was it, 02 or so? And I don't think it was really of this magnitude in terms of the response. I think that maybe to say that it was the, you know, Mayor Bloomberg's Katrina is a little overstated, but I do think it really chips into his image as somebody who literally, quote-unquote, keeps the trains running on time.
Well, there was an initial callousness on the part of the mayor, who maybe didn't somehow realize that people were literally dying. Several people at least died, including a newborn baby, because the emergency crews could not get through in the way they would normally be expected to. And I wonder if we have any sanitation workers listening right now. I realize you're all probably working 90-hour shifts to get the garbage picked up, but if we happen to have any sanitation workers, or even former or retired sanitation workers, call us up and tell us from your perspective what actually happened here last week. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you are a sanitation worker on a day off or a sick day, or a former or retired sanitation worker, was it a work slowdown? Was it the result of budget cuts and inexperienced managers? Open lines for sanitation workers or former sanitation workers. If any of you happen to be listening, we'll put you right on if you call in. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, Errol, Juan Gonzalez's column in the Daily News the other day laid this at the feet of Deputy Mayor Stephen Goldsmith, famous budget cutter and privatizer as mayor of Indianapolis, hired last year as a deputy mayor. And apparently he has the sanitation department most squarely in his sights for saving the city money, and he had scheduled demotions and salary cuts to take effect this month for 100 sanitation supervisors. So I wonder, Errol, if you have any sources who confirm that cuts or a demoralized middle management workforce had anything to do with the results last week?
Well, the best source that I have, frankly, you know, everybody else saw me interview him, was the sanitation commissioner, John Doherty. And he said that there was no wildcat strike. And he said that, you know, and this is the guy who saw us through the 1996 blizzard with very different results. And he said that it wasn't really about that because the demotions haven't taken effect. So that, you know, if people were feeling bad, it was, you know, maybe sort of something prospectively, maybe in anticipation of a coming demotion that they stayed home. I don't know. But I'll tell you, I think the Goldsmith angle to me is a little intriguing because another columnist, Mike Daly, in yesterday's Daily News pointed out that apparently when he was mayor of Indianapolis, Goldsmith came under fire for the management of the response to a blizzard in the 1990s back in his hometown. And, of course, there's this question that's out there of, you know, where was he on Christmas Day, which was the most important day, frankly, when it came to preparation and getting ready for this. And we don't know where he was, and we don't know where the mayor was. They haven't – we have not heard from City Hall where they were. We get these responses of, well, he was in touch with the emergency planners. And that's not – I don't think that's going to ultimately be an answer that people are going to accept. And then just briefly to answer your initial question, I think the spell is broken for a lot of the mayor's supporters. I mean, you know, when you see somebody like a Dove Hyken, you see folks down in Borough Park and in Midwood and in Staten Island raging against the mayor, saying that they're just through with him. They don't care about the theater crowd. They don't care about the tourists. Where are the plows? And on and on and on. That's different. We haven't heard that. Those, I mean, that's Bloomberg country, these areas.
Now, we don't have any sanitation workers calling in yet, but we do have a paramedic who was out working Brooklyn last week during the storm. And Chris in Williamsburg, we appreciate you calling in. Hi.
Good morning. I worked that night. I left my house about 10:30, giving myself about an hour to get to work. And as I was leaving my house, there was a sanitation plow truck. And the guy actually had gotten out of his truck and was helping push a car that was stuck in front of him. I helped push also and told him. He saw my uniform. I told him, you know, I was going to work, but let me get out first. And he said, no problem. And on my way to work, there was just so many cars stuck in traffic that the sanitation trucks couldn't get out and do their job. And once I finally got to work, our ambulances couldn't literally get past the ER bay. I mean, if we got 100 feet from the hospital before we could respond to a call, that would be considered far. And I've worked other storms, blizzards from 96, 2001, and never saw anything like this, the chaos. And I think the bottom line was nobody called for a snow emergency. And if that was done, then I think people would have taken it more seriously, and probably the overtime or the resources would have been dispatched to make sure that the emergency vehicles could at least get in and out.
Chris, thank you very much, and thanks for your service, and I appreciate you calling in. Anyone else who was out on the job, and we can expand it to other people on emergency crews, any NYPD officers perhaps who also have experience that dates far enough to remember back to other very major storms. Did this seem different to you from a worker standpoint, sanitation worker standpoint? Did it just seem like a different kind of storm? 212-433-WNYC or any sanitation workers, 212-433-9692. For Era Lewis from New York One and Celeste Katz from the Daily News. And Celeste, does this in any way put new additional pressure on Kathy Black here on her first day in office as schools chancellor? I realize schools chancellor is a very different job than the other ones we're talking about, but Mayor Bloomberg's line always was, trust me on this, despite her lack of education experience, I know how to hire good managers. Now that we have the City Time payroll scandal on his watch in the last month, and now the snowstorm failure, and all of a sudden, 9 years later, you heard Errol, the bloom is off the rose for some people in a new way, and maybe it makes it harder for Kathy Black to prove herself, or you think not really?
Well, I mean, I think that the third term is never a charm, particularly for any mayor. I mean, you remember going back, and I think Errol and I talked about this on his program pretty recently about the things that happened, say, during Ed Koch's third term and the scandals, the corruption that occurred then. So third terms are not necessarily, when you go out in a blaze of glory, so to speak. Kathy Black was out this morning doing her first official rounds of schools. She did say that she was concerned about making cuts and keeping up the quality of the education, but she didn't give a lot of specifics, and Mayor Bloomberg kind of cut in and said, well, she can't really tell us where she's going to have to cut or not cut until she knows how much money she has to work with. That may be a semi-valid point, but it's not necessarily the most encouraging thing. But to answer your question, yes, I think there's an incredible, incredible amount of pressure on Kathy Black and on Mayor Bloomberg. I mean, if we go through the first cycle of testing and the children don't do well or don't do as well as you might have hoped, then fingers will be pointed at Kathy Black, but especially at Mayor Bloomberg, because he has been this guy with a reputation for choosing, or he has set himself up as being a guy with a reputation for choosing hardworking, wise managers who have a lot of experience, the same way the president might be expected to not be an expert in national parks or national defense, mm-hmm. but can go out and pick somebody who is. And yes, I think that he certainly got his fingers crossed, and I think the rest of us do too.
An emergency worker perspective from former sanitation worker Frank in Brooklyn. Frank, thank you so much for calling in. Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you.
What do you think about what happened last week? Did it surprise you?
Yes, it did. It did. I when I was working for the sanitation, it was never anything like this. It was always there's a particular way we approach and do things. And I live in Brooklyn, and for example, Church Avenue and Utica Avenue and all those very essential streets weren't plowed, which surprised me quite a bit. Now, from what I have been hearing, and I have no way of telling whether this has anything to do with what went down or not, but from what I've been hearing under the table is that they only hired approximately 200 sanitation workers, and then they promoted a certain amount of people up to foremen, and then they realized that they were at a shortfall, and they threatened or busted the foreman back down.
Right.
Now, when you move from one to the other, you are out of the ranks, so you're two separate unions. And at one time, they were threatening to just bring these guys back, but at the bottom of the chain. But now there has been some kind of agreement that these foremen would come back into the regular ranks with their seniority intact. Now, that doesn't fit too right with the rank-and-file sanitation workers, and the sanitation foremen that were promoted don't think or don't feel right about them being busted and brought back down into the ranks.
Yeah, so that's so interesting. What do the foremen do, Frank? If there are 100 what are being called sanitation supervisors who are scheduled to take a demotion this month, literally going back to work on the trucks,
right,
and getting their pays lowered. What would they have been doing as foremen, day to day, hour to hour, now that they were off the trucks?
Well, they would have gone back to working with the regular rank and file sanitation work, going back behind the trucks again.
But right. I'm asking, what does a foreman do?
Well, the foreman usually supervises the collection of garbage or collection of cleanup. What they do, you'll see them in the white cars, and you see those cars running around, and they'll be behind trucks, making sure that routes are finished and the trucks are gone right to the dumps and that kind of stuff.
Right. So they were obviously unhappy about that. And Errol Lewis, it's such an unusual move. I mean, you know, we hear about people being laid off by Governor Cuomo. And Governor Patterson, 900 state workers. Governor Cuomo is now proposing a pay freeze for state workers for a year. But to actually bust someone down a level without them having not been incompetent in their jobs, taking 100 foremen or supervisors and demoting them as a cost-saving measure, putting them back on trucks, lowering their pay, in a way, that's more demoralizing than any of the other stuff, wouldn't you think?
Well, it's not very popular with the union, as you can imagine, or with the people who are being affected by it. But then, you know, there's another issue that goes on at the same time. At the same time, they had to hire some new folks, and they ended up rushing them out onto the trucks before, you know, they'd only had 2 weeks of training, and they were supposed to get considerably more before they were put out in the field. And in the heat of the, or the cold of the blizzard, they were rushed out onto the truck. So this overall presents a picture, and I know that the sanitation department is going to get a lot of close scrutiny for this, a situation, just as you said, of like, well, look, what's the management strategy here? Do these guys really have a handle on this and what they're really trying to do? And is it going to save any real money? You know, I mean, is this just some efficiency expert's idea of how to move the boxes around, those boxes being real people's lives and careers? Or were we really going to save some money from this? Those are the kind right of questions that are going
to
come up.
Very briefly, because I want to get to Governor Cuomo. As the mayor tries to project his image nationally as a competent, pragmatic manager above all else, Celeste, running for president or not, is the Bloomberg brand damaged by recent events? Or is this just us in the media going blah, blah, blah?
No, I think it's damaged. I do think it's damaged. I mean, I do think that when you have somebody who has been personally and spectacularly successful at making money, and then you have a City Times scandal where something like $80 million just disappeared. I mean, nobody noticed. Nobody, despite many warnings from people like Arwan Gonzalez, Controller John Liu has made points about that. There were even whistleblowers, and this money just disappeared. I mean, how do you? The mayor's been trying for weeks and weeks and weeks to explain this away. He hasn't been able to do that, and now he's got this to explain away. I think the brand is damaged. I'm not saying he can't make a comeback, or you know, that there won't be some sort of reasonable outcome where they can say that they've learned from this and make changes that will prevent it from happening
right
in the future. But, yeah, people are going to look at this and
think, I don't know if it's going to matter in Iowa or New Hampshire or Louisiana or anywhere else. It did make the national news on the Sunday national talk shows. One of the topics of conversation this week was the snowstorm management failure in New York and New Jersey. So we will see. All right.
You can't have a big city like this shut down, brought to its knees by a blizzard with this kind of chaos and people actually unable to get the help they need and not suffer some sort of repercussions from it. You just can't.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, let's listen to more of his inaugural address.
We have a very specific mandate for change that the people want. And our expectation is that the politicians and the elected officials of people are now going to do what the people voted for and what the people need. It starts with jobs, 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 getting the economy running once again, getting the economy running all across this great state. Number two is going to be cleaning up Albany and restoring trust, because Bob is right, you have nothing without trust. Any relationship is only as good as the level of trust, and we have lost the trust. And we're not going to get it back until we clean up Albany and there's real transparency and real disclosure and real accountability and real ethics and real ethics enforcement. That's what the people have voted for. That's what the people deserve.
The new Governor Cuomo from his Saturday inaugural, Celeste Katz from the Daily News, Errol Lewis from New York One, with us for just another couple of minutes. Then we'll go around the state and get some various reactions from the Bronx Borough President and the Westchester County Executive, see if he believes Cuomo when he says he's crossing party lines, and also from a major union official representing state workers, and that apparently is going to be where the first battle is. So, Errol, in pursuit of jobs, 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 you heard the clip. The first thing he does is to lay people off, 900 state workers. That takes effect. That took effect on New Year's Day.
Yes.
And says he's going to try to impose a one-year wage freeze on state workers. Are the two separate imperatives, that is the fiscal crisis, which is obviously upon us, and the need to create jobs in the private sector, are they two separate imperatives or are they related?
To be honest with you, I think of them as separate because, you know, the relatively small amount that will be saved by the layoffs is not automatically going to be transferred into some brilliant job creation strategy that's going to make private sector jobs flourish. I think, though, and if you listen to the speech closely, Cuomo was pretty clear about this. He needs to send a symbol. He says we need to send a symbol to the people who are being taxed out of the state, the businesses and even more particularly the homeowners and the families that feel like they can't bear the tax burden. They need to feel that government is more efficient, that money's not being wasted, and that there's some point to staying here and to handing over these very high property taxes and corporate taxes. And so that's what he has set out to do.
Listeners, we have our first 2011 Thoroughly Unscientific poll question up now on our politics website. It's freecountry.org. And the question is, should New York State public employees take a one-year wage freeze as Governor Cuomo wants? Should New York State public employees take a one-year wage freeze as Governor Cuomo wants? Give us your answer at our politics website. It's freecountry.org. And Celeste Katz, before you go, and we talk to one of the union leaders who I guess the governor will have to negotiate with. We are anticipating the State of the State address on Wednesday where he will get even more specific. And I guess he'll announce the creation of, what's it called, a financial emergency plan?
Emergency financial reinvention plan.
And what are you anticipating that's going to involve?
Well, I mean, you are talking about freezing state worker salaries. You're talking about capping state spending. You're talking about the changes in worker status that you mentioned before. I mean, I think he's really just saying we got to rip this thing up and start over again. There's no way. And I mean, a lot of municipalities are going to be looking at this. I mean, you know, property taxes are going to be looking at this and saying, what's for me? You know, what's in it for me, or how is this going to hurt me? I know Mayor Bloomberg talked about that a little bit this morning, and everybody wants the state to do well, but not at their expense. So I think that he will certainly experience a little bit of pushback, even as people want him to succeed. They themselves don't want to share too much of the sacrifice because their own constituencies won't stand for it.
Celeste Katz from the Daily News, Daily Politics blog. Errol Lewis, host of Inside City Hall on New York One every night. Errol, thanks a lot. Celeste, Happy New Year to you, too.
And thanks a lot.
We'll be talking.
Okay, thanks.
And more to come on the dawn of the Andrew Cuomo era. We'll hear directly from a state union official next. Get reaction from the Republican County Executive of Westchester, Rob Astorino, and the Democratic Bronx Borough President, Ruben Diaz, Jr., and hear more clips from the new governor's inaugural address, including a clip in which he sort of channels his father. Happy New Year. Stay tuned. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
And my friends, we must right-size the state government for today. The state government has grown too large. We can't afford it. The number of local governments have grown too large. And that we're going to have to reduce and consolidate.
Governor Cuomo from his inaugural address on Saturday. He has since leaked word of a plan to ask state workers for a one-year wage freeze. And with us now is Stephen Medeiros, director of one of the major state unions, director of communication, at one of the major state unions, CSEA Local 1000. Mr. Medeiros, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
And with 900 brand new layoffs and a one-year wage freeze request, would it be inappropriate to say Happy New Year?
Well, we've been saying for weeks that we expect a very dynamic year ahead of us, without any question. I would just, you know, immediately, though, challenge the characterization of the plan for new layoffs, or I'm so sorry, for wage fees. There is no formal proposal that's gone out there. There's been some vague political rhetoric and some unnamed sources that have suggested it. But, you know, there's a very different dynamic between going to the bargaining table and negotiating in good faith and putting something like that out on the table as part of your good faith bargaining and some type of edict that may not actually be legal. So I think we have to be very careful in terms of what's actually going on here. Certainly there is political rhetoric that's being bandied about, but there is no formal proposal for a pay freeze.
Well, it's interesting that you raised that because that was kind of going to be my next question. This wage freeze has not been officially announced. It was reported in the media as a leak from Cuomo people. So I guess we have our first official leak of the Cuomo administration and probably came on purpose from the top. Have his people called your people about this? After all, your union is the biggest union representing state workers.
No, there's been no formal contact in that respect. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of back-channel communication that goes on, as is the norm and with any administration. But certainly, even what we're seeing them saying in the Times today suggests that they recognize that this is an issue for negotiation. And as I said before, there's a significant difference between bringing something to the bargaining table and bargaining in good faith versus some type of unilateral edict.
Well, with a $10 billion reported deficit looming for the new fiscal year on April 1st and another billion between now and April 1st, as reported, are your choices really a wage freeze or more layoffs?
Those are never the choices. There are always all kinds of alternatives that you can come up with. What people don't seem to understand is that negotiating is about creative problem solving. Both sides come to the table. You put forth your issues. You try to find the common ground, and you work constructively. I mean, this is the way it should work, is that you work constructively to try to achieve benefits for both sides. Do we expect tough negotiations with the Cuomo administration? Absolutely, we do. We understand that it's a difficult year. I think what you've seen, though, over the past year here in Albany is just total dysfunction. And in fact, our dealings with the Patterson administration were almost non-existent. We certainly saw a true breakdown in any kind of relationship with the Patterson administration. They weren't interested in negotiating with us. They were interested in having us simply accept their unilateral demands, and that's just not a healthy thing. One of the things that I think we look forward to with the new Cuomo administration is trying to, you know, reset some priorities and having some focus and having an administration with some credibility that we can work with fairly.
Are you getting different signals from the Cuomo administration? Do you think they're going to be easier for you to deal with or engage in a more practical give and take than the Patterson administration?
Well, we certainly hope they'll be more professional. That's for certain.
The larger contract expires April 1st. What do you see as the major issues for a new contract? Is it staving off pension decreases for future state workers, or what would you say?
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot that's been misleading about the pension issue, purposefully so from some quarters. One of the things that when you deal with the pension issue, that's largely not going to be an issue that will be dealt with in negotiations. And I think that, we were part of responding to the Empire Center report last month about the pension issues, and one of the points we made is that there are 8 separate pension systems in New York State, and when you lump all of those systems together, each one has, you know, a series of nuanced challenges, but when you lump them all together, it looks like it's a big mess, whereas if you start to deal with them individually, it's a far more manageable approach. But again, you know, to go back to your original question about state negotiations, we expect them to be difficult. We certainly understand that we're looking at resetting priorities in state government. So I think that there will be probably some fundamental issues that will be dealt with in terms of, you know, how the state government operates. And one of the things to keep in some context here is CSEA represents the lion's share of the state workers. And there's a very different dynamic for any governor in dealing with CSEA than you would have with any other union out there. This isn't just about simply contract negotiations. The governor is the boss to the state workforce, and there's a tone that's set, and there certainly has to be, we believe, a healthy respect between the administration and those workers who are out there on the front lines every day doing the work.
And
you know?
So before you go, did he reflect that tone of respect in his inaugural address, in your opinion, and in his dealings with you so far?
Yeah, we think that he's setting a very good tone to this point. Again, that doesn't mean that we won't be without some challenges in the year ahead. But with every, you know, we've been around now for 100 years, and with every governor we've dealt with, when we agree, we're going to be very cooperative and supportive. When we disagree, we're going to be making our points in the court of public opinion to try to change public policy for what we believe is the better.
Since it's subject to negotiation, can you see circumstances under which you would accept a one-year wage freeze?
Well, again, I wouldn't prejudge what will or won't happen in negotiations, except to say that if that's an issue that's brought to the table, we'll have to deal with it there.
Stephen Medeiros, Director of Communication at the CSEA Local 1000. CSEA is the biggest union representing New York State workers. Thank you very much. We look forward to talking to you as these negotiations begin.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and I want to play now maybe the most interesting clip from the Cuomo inaugural address. He takes office at such a different time than his father did in 1983. Mario Cuomo is a champion of activist government. Andrew Cuomo has to come in slashing away at fat and at bone to deal with the fiscal crisis that we're in. But here is Andrew from the inaugural sounding very different from, say, Chris Christie, about the role of government, even in the context of today's tough times. He's a budget cutter, but a Democrat. He sets this up by talking about the physical grandeur of the state capitol building where the inaugural was being held.
Look at the granite and the marble, the carved mahogany, the carved oak in this building, the million-dollar staircase, the most expensive building to build at the time, $25 million. It took them 30 years. Look at the statement that they were making. Look at the commitment. Look at the resources. They could have built a building in one-tenth the time, with one-tenth the expense and one-tenth the effort. That's not what they wanted. They wanted to make a statement when they built this institution of government. They wanted to say, we believe in government. We respect government. We're committed to government. We want the government to succeed. Why? Because they believed when the government succeeds, they succeed. Because the government is them. It is not an alien force. It is the organizing force for people. And if the government is successful at organizing and mobilizing, then society is going to be successful. So they invested in the government, and it was theirs, and they were proud of it. That's what this building is all about. That's what the Court of Appeals is all about. People believing in the institutions of New York State and believing in themselves and believing in the state and investing in that belief.
And he sounded like he believed it himself. Governor Andrew Cuomo from his inaugural, and with us now the Bronx Borough President, Ruben Diaz, Jr. Borough President, welcome back to WNYC. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Brian. Thank you for having me back.
How do you see the state of the Bronx as Governor Cuomo takes office and gets ready to deal with $11 billion of budget gaps?
Well, certainly there's a new energy coming from the tone that our new Governor Cuomo has set in that inaugural address. And the state of the Bronx is stronger than it was 15, 20 years ago, and I hope that it continues to be strong. You know, we are a borough of 1.4 million people who are waiting for this new executive to he used the word investment, Brian, and that's what we need here in the borough. We need to continue to invest in our infrastructure. We need to invest in things like the Hunts Point Produce Market, which has about 8,000 workers and feeds the city of New York. 60% of the tri-state area is fed by the produce market, the largest produce market in the world at this moment. And this is what the type of discussions that we want to have with Andrew, that I continue to have with the new governor, with the administration, because much is being said about the economic crisis, and much is being said about the spending cutting the spending in government. I think that we should have an approach here where we also invest wisely. In my history as a legislator and my experience over almost 13 years of being up there, I know that many of the people in the legislature are going to have sacred cows. One of the things that we need to do is to make sure that we have things like new market tax credits, investment in small business lending, things that he can do with the Empire Economic Development Corporation, so that on one hand, while I know that spending has to be cut, there has to be some type of an investment in businesses, investment in higher education and education, so that New Yorkers are prepared to continue to grow the economy.
Considering what you just said, do you like the idea of layoffs and wage freezes for state workers because it takes money from the government's expenses rather than from the services that many Bronx residents do depend on?
I don't think anyone likes the idea. I don't think the new governor likes the idea of layoffs. But the reality is that in this day and age, we have, like you said earlier on the program, almost a $10 billion deficit, if not more. And for us in the Bronx, when you look at, for instance, Steve was just on SEIU 1199 and the Healthcare Workers Union, one out of every four adult who's employed in the Bronx is employed in the healthcare industry. So I am alarmed as the borough president to see that in a borough where we already have high unemployment rates, if these cuts come down, I'm alarmed that we're going to have hundreds of Bronxites that are laid off. And that means that, these are people who are not going to be able to invest back in the local economy. So I think that, this is a long process that's going to happen. I'm going to be up in Albany on Wednesday to hear his state of the state address. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see what type of proposal he has. Then he has the opportunity he has to submit his budget proposal, and then there's going to be a give and take between he, the Senate, and the Assembly. And I fully expect, as the borough president with the Bronx delegation, to be a part of that conversation as to how is it that we not only create new jobs here in the Bronx, but we also speak of job retention, and that means in the healthcare industry, that means in small businesses, and also in corporations and industry like the Hunts Point Produce Market.
Can the governor help create private sector jobs? In your opinion, he said his first priority is jobs, jobs, jobs.
Absolutely. And I think that he's been clear on the fact that he wants to be helpful in that area. We've had numerous conversations about how to not only, again, create jobs, but retain those jobs that are already here and make industry grow. How is it that we invest in things like the green economy? How do we create the market so that developers have the incentive to build green? We can train a workforce. We've been doing that already through federal funding, thanks to Senator Gillibrand and the prior administration, where we're training Bronxites in the installation of green material like wind turbines and solar panels. And then we also have to invite manufacturers in areas like the Bronx and upstate New York. See, I don't want the Bronx to be forgotten in this whole conversation of creating jobs and jobs, jobs, jobs. Everyone seems to think that only upstate New York is hurting. But here in the Bronx, we are in the city of New York, however, we're the number one county with unemployment and poverty levels, and our infrastructure looks great, but we have a willing citizenry that wants to be skilled at the new economy. I think green jobs is the way to go.
Ruben Diaz Jr., Bronx Borough President, thank you very much.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
And remember, everyone, we do have an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific opinion poll question on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. Should New York State public employees take a one-year wage freeze as Governor Cuomo wants? Should New York State public employees take a one-year wage freeze as Governor Cuomo wants? Answer yes or no on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org.
To my Republican colleagues, I say I will not govern in a partisan way. And my administration will not be a partisan administration. I was not a partisan attorney general. I did not run a partisan campaign. I don't believe the Democrats or the Republicans alone created the problems we face today. And I don't believe the Democrats or Republicans alone will be able to solve the problems we face today. I believe we're going to have to do it and do it together.
Governor Cuomo reaching across the aisle, and we'll talk to a leading state Republican in just a minute. I just want to invite you, our listeners, to call in with your inaugural messages for Governor Andrew Cuomo, 212-433-WNYC, or you can post your comments to our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. And you can answer the question on the air about the first leaked proposal from the Cuomo administration, leaked to the Times this morning and getting out in other media as well. Should New York State public employees take a one-year wage freeze as Governor Cuomo wants? You heard from the union official a few minutes ago. 212-433-WNYC on that or anything else that you want to deliver as a day one message. Okay, now it's day three. To the new governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo, call us up. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. By the way, we have a couple of Cuomo features on itsafreecountry.org. We've created a Cuomo scorecard. That's right. We've taken all the major policy promises that the new governor made during the campaign and created a checklist. You can download the PDF and keep track yourself of whether Cuomo's actions start to match his campaign promises. And in anticipation of Wednesday's State of the State address, where he's expected to get much more specific, we're collecting your State of the State acrostics. You got it. Take the word empire and describe New York in six words, each starting with the first letter, E-M-P-I-R-E. Check out the first ever It's a Free Country New York State acrostic challenge, that and lots more, right on the homepage of our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. And now we do turn to a leading New York Republican, as Cuomo says he's going to reach across the aisle, Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. Hi, County Executive. Welcome back to WNYC.
Happy New Year, Brian.
And we just heard from the Bronx Borough President saying what he wants from the Cuomo administration. How about you in Westchester, just across that county line?
Well, I've spoken to the governor a few weeks ago. I called him to congratulate. We spoke privately. I've spoken to him during the year when he was attorney general. He lives here in Westchester County, so he knows the problems that we've been facing. And I've been in the trenches now for a year dealing with similar issues that he's going to be dealing with today. And it's not fun. And I've told him, you're going to get arrows, you know, fired at you from every angle, but you've got to take on these issues and you got to hit them head on. And I think he's willing to do that. He told me that publicly, privately, and that's his mandate. I thought yesterday you gave a good speech. I thought it was less of a speech than more of a from the heart, which was very important, I think. And I agreed with almost everything he said. He's got to bring jobs back to New York. How you do it, I guess we could have a debate on. You have to restore the trust of the people because right now it is a cesspool in Albany. He recognizes that. You got to change the status quo, and you got to do it now. And I think he said, you know, he's going to be graded on performance and not on rhetoric, and that's very, very important. So I support him and everything that he talked about in the campaign. I will stand with him, as I told him, you know, a Republican in a big county with a Democratic governor. I will stand with him in this fight that he's going to have to take on. It's not going to be easy, but everyone knows it has to be done.
What would it mean, in your opinion, for him to govern in a bipartisan way?
He has to do it. You know, I think he's going to get his natural allies may not be his biggest helpers, and that would be the Assembly. But I think the Republicans in the state Senate, and I've spoken to the majority leader, Dean Skelos, about this as well, and they're very willing, because if you closed your eyes during the campaign, Governor Cuomo sounded very much like Republicans in many ways, talking about fiscal conservatism, you know, the need, because the dollars aren't there. We all recognize that. There has to be a change, long-term and short-term. And so I think, you know, we're all agree with this, and now it gets into the specifics, because at 30,000 feet, everyone says, yes, we have to cut spending. The pensions are out of control. Medicaid is ballooning to a level that we cannot afford. All these unsustainable costs. But when you get closer to the ground, those are where the political battles are, the philosophical battles, et cetera. I think, you know, the problem is not with what he said, because what he said is urgent. Mm-hmm. He said it correctly. It's what the legislature and the leaders are right. hearing, whether they're going to get the message or not.
So one more question for now, and we hope to talk to you a lot during this year of change in New York State. But some Democrats call on the wealthiest of Westchester residents and Manhattan residents and some others at the top to share more of the sacrifice with the tax on the highest incomes. This is not the Cuomo position. But these other Democrats say state workers will sacrifice with a wage freeze and layoffs and whatever. Poor people and middle-class people will sacrifice with service cuts and high unemployment rates. But nothing is being asked, ironically, of the wealthiest among us who can most easily shoulder additional sacrifice. Your feeling about that?
Well, I think if you look at the census figures in New York, people are leaving in droves. Businesses are leaving. Property taxpayers are leaving. They're leaving because they have been shouldering the burden for a very long time. I think we're a very generous people in New York State. We provide for those who truly need it. Nobody's saying not to. But I think what we're talking about now is whether or not we can continue to afford it at these levels. It's about what is necessary, and we're trying to get to that point right now in Westchester, and I think he's got to get that in the state. But these levels of spending are just not sustainable, and we can't afford them anymore at those costs for pensions or whatever it is. And I think that's what we've got to look at, and I think that's what he's going to be looking at. And I don't think people are saying don't provide for the poor. We're doing that in Westchester. We're doing that throughout the state. But at some point, too many people are leaving, and the people who are staying are the ones that need service, and that is a big imbalance now of what we can afford at all levels. And I think that's the biggest thing he's going to have to deal with.
Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And we'll come back in just a minute with your calls, with your messages on day one, or day three to be more specific, for the new governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. We'll send them up there. And specifically on the first proposal that's been leaked to the press now, do you want to see a wage freeze for New York State employees? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692.
We have to pass a property tax cap in the state of New York because working families can't afford to pay the ever-increasing tax burden. Nothing is going up in their lives. Their income isn't going up. Their bank account isn't going up. Their savings aren't going up. They can't afford never-ending tax increases in the state of New York, and this state has no future if it is going to be the tax capital of the nation. We have to send that signal this session by passing a property tax cap.
Governor Cuomo, again, from his inaugural address, and we'll take our last few minutes here to take more of your calls with your messages to the new governor and your reaction to this first specific proposal floated out there from an apparent leak from within the Cuomo administration today. Should they cap, freeze, public employee wages, New York State public employee wages for the next year? Florence and Whitestone, you're on WNYC. Hi, Florence.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, I think it might be a good idea, and also should include our legislature, both the Senate and the state Congress. If they would take a wage freeze, that would be fine.
If the workers are going to do it, the elected officials should, too. Gotcha. Dan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Brian. You know, although I support the pay freeze, I think it's a symbolic political act more than anything else that doesn't really save a lot of money. The real long-term issue, and it's the sustainability issue in state government and local government is the way that retirement benefits are computed. Very often it's based on the last year, which gets loaded up with a lot of overtime. And then that retirement benefit is much higher than the actual salary was and gets, you got a 20-year, 30-year payout on that. And that's the real long-term issue that's going to be the tough one to deal with because the unions are going to fight that one very, very hard.
Dan, thank you very much. Peter in Warwick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Brian. We have a crisis in sustainability. We have really high wages among many union groups, particularly in teachers, which in theory is a great thing. But then we have mandated retirement benefits that the previous caller just referred to. We also have health care benefits where the many groups only contribute about 12%. This is clearly not sustainable anymore. We can't have the kind of lifestyle that we have right now with these kinds of payments being made by tax dollars.
Peter, thank you. Thank you very much. Charles in Island Heights is going to get our last word for now. Charles, you got 15 seconds. Go.
15 seconds. The last word is why a selective tax on people who least can defend themselves? Let everybody's taxes go up appropriately. If the rich want to leave New York, good. So if they don't, maybe the poor will leave New York if they get overtaxed, which is exactly what a wage cut is.
Charles, thank you very much. Got to leave it there. Thanks to all of you for calling. Keep the conversation going. Keep posting your messages to the new governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, at itsafreecountry.org and answer our poll question there, our thoroughly unscientific poll question. Should state employees take a 1-year wage freeze?